Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we continue with the series, Paramedic Notes from the Inside. And here is Episode 2, Part 1, A New Appreciation for Vicks Vapor Rub. Working in EMS for any length of time, one begins to appreciate certain universal and timeless truisms. Two of which that immediately come to mind are, if you drop the baby, pick it up. Well, what are you going to do, leave it there? For the record, no, I have never dropped a baby. If it's wet, sticky, foul-smelling, and not yours, leave it alone. That one should be self-explanatory. However, it is somewhat appropriate for what follows below. A Saturday in mid-November 2005. I am halfway through my coleslaw-topped pulled pork barbecue sandwich from Memphis Jack's when the radio barks with a request from dispatch for our current location. I feel the pager on my side vibrate, asking via text that same question. Dispatch is certainly thorough, if nothing else. ICU 248, what's your 1020? ICU 248 is at Cooper and Bank, just getting some lunch. I'm hoping that my addition of relevant context may spare us from the assignment sure to follow. No such luck. Sorry, 248, I'm going to need you for an alpha response on the Southway. Details to follow on your pager. Fuck. This is not going to be fun. An alpha response is a level 1 priority, meaning it is a non-emergency ambulance call. Call assignments are based on the skill level of the medics responding, and there is only one skill that a critical care crew possesses that would be used on a non-emergency call, the skill allowing us to pronounce and certify that death has occurred. ICU 248, 10-8 to scene. I respond as I see Bree, my partner, crossing the street with her Memphis Jack's bag in hand. Jumping in the passenger seat, the former ballerina with the M.A. in comparative lit and my paramedic partner for the day asked me if we got the update yet. Reading my pager, I groan. No, not an alpha. Not when I've had half a pulled pork. Please tell me it's not what I think it is. Yep, I answer, smiling, as I weave into the afternoon traffic en route to the Southway. The details in our update indicate we're responding to the 9th floor of an apartment building. The call was relayed to us via a police operator who received the initial call from the building superintendent. The man was concerned about a rancid smell, one that had been getting worse for several days. I'll get the Vicks. Bree replies, dropping both our sandwiches into the garbage basket between the seats. We are almost at the address when dispatch barks another update. ICU 248, be advised that Response 9 and the FD are on scene and confirm you are needed for a code 5. ICU 248, copy that. We are 10-7 at scene. Can you cancel Response 9 and FD off the call? Copy that. FD canceled. Response 9 has requested to stay and assist. 10-4. I look at Bree, who rolls her eyes and with a grand show of faux enthusiasm says, Great! We get to deal with a body and Mr. Grabby Hands. What a slacker. Mr. Grabby Hands, as he is known, is actually a response unit medic, otherwise known as DJ. A level 1 paramedic, he's an old-school guy who was required to update his certification or lose his job. DJ is one of the last of his breed. Bree's description of him as a slacker, however, is more than accurate. There is absolutely no need for him to be here now. What he's more than likely attempting to do by assisting is kill an hour or so of responding to calls while we complete paperwork and deal with the coroner notification, etc. Trained at a time when all you needed to work in an ambulance was your standard first aid and a chauffeur's license, DJ is the kind of guy who's seen it all and done it all. At least in his mind, anyway. He also has quite the reputation with the female paramedics of our department as an annoying flirt. Today, I changed that description to blatant sexual harasser. With the Vicks vapor rub generously applied to the inside of our nostrils, I zipped the control pack into one of several zippered compartments in the leg of my paramedic jumpsuit, leaving our medical bag, trauma kit, spinal board, and stretcher behind. The control pack, as we call it, is black leather, about the size of a travel wallet. It has a zipper around three sides and contains six rows of medication. Each row has a slot for six 1-milliliter ampoules. The first three rows contain three varieties of opiates. The last three rows hold three varieties of benzodiazepines. Combined, they have a street value of just under $10,000, thus the reason they literally come with us everywhere we go. Bree and I realize this call will be particularly rough when we hit the lobby. Our call is nine floors up, yet we can smell the scent of the decomposing body from here. As anyone who has been unfortunate enough to experience the scent of a dead body can tell you, once you smell it, you will recognize it anywhere. It's a powerfully rancid scent, similar to rotting meat, but with a distinct and sickly sweet twist. Similar to, say, barbecue sauce for pulled pork. By the time we reach the apartment, both the Vicks vapor rub lining our nostrils and surgical mask covering our mouths are of limited use. With the stench as bad as it is, breathing must be deliberate and only through the mouth, as one involuntary inhale via the nose will cause gagging, which often leads to worse. And trust me, you don't want that, as vomiting can often be contagious. Entering the apartment, Mr. Grabby Hands awaits us in the small living room. Looking up, he throws us a generous smile and says, "Look who we got, Alto Cub and Black Swan. Good to see you as always." Though his greeting is intended to be good-natured, both of us are somewhat sick of the nicknames we have come to hold on the department. Alto Cub was harmless enough, I suppose, originating from a fusion of my longtime screen name of Alto with Cub, a term that in the gay community refers to a younger variety of bear, a gay man with a beard, often one who is hairy and appears more traditionally masculine in deportment and style. As someone who made a choice to be open with my sexuality, I can't really complain. It could have been worse. Bree, on the other hand, is not as accepting of Black Swan, nor should she be. Swan, from her dance history, obviously, but the movie of the same name has yet to come out, and I doubt most of the guys calling her that are familiar with the ballet. No, behind the black is a very clear, passive-aggressive put-down. For having the audacity to possess what by any definition would be considered supermodel looks and a very limited tolerance for straight male sexist bullshit. As Bree herself says, it's only slightly less offensive than the librarian dominatrix, the other term they sometimes use. Librarian referring to the French-inspired chignon she pulls her hair into at work, dominatrix referring to the utter lack of interest she pays to the blatant attention guys shower her with. The sexy, ice-cold bitch. At any rate, Mr. Grabby Hands has of late seemed a bit nervous around me. My biggest fan until learning I was gay, he has since confided to co-workers that he was surprised since I was just like all the other guys on the job. Clearly, Mr. Grabby Hands was expecting all gay men to be little Nelly Limp Wrists belting out Broadway show tunes at the drop of a hat. Anything else is just too complicated and challenging to the stereotypes defining his 1950s-inspired world. But today, around both of us, he is nothing short of a babbling mess. With foot firmly implanted in mouth, DJ proceeds to inform us that the deceased, who's in the bedroom, is as queer as a $3 bill, judging by all the girly shit around this place. Instantly, my hackles go up, and I feel a flash of white-hot anger. Time and a few unpleasant, heated exchanges since taking this job have taught me to rein it in, fast. Turning away, I silently count to 10. Thankfully, there is a benefit in having a partner who knows you almost as well as you know yourself. Not missing a beat, Bree steps in, taking it from here. Her impressive ability to look someone in the eye while remaining completely expressionless for just slightly longer than required before speaking is, I'm sure, another reason for her specific nickname. Thanks, DJ. We can take it from here. No way, Black Swan. I wouldn't dream of it. The poor boy just cannot read social clues. Perhaps I wasn't clear, DJ. Your presence here is no longer required, Bree says with a closed-mouth smile, then squeezes the radio microphone. When dispatch answers, she clears Mr. Grabby Hands. All righty then, you people have a great day. I smile, realizing he can't get out quick enough. Closing the door behind him, I look at Bree and roll my eyes. Ready to do this? I ask my partner. Never, she says, the answer giving away just slightly more than Bree may have intended, and I have a moment of unexpected softness for my partner and friend, the woman most see as an ice queen. I hastily decide to give away just as much. It's only fair. Neither am I. Let's go. With that, we move to the bedroom, where we begin to do our job. The surprisingly complicated job of bearing witness to a life lived through documenting, thereby legitimizing its passing. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at ChrisKKArya, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or writer with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. And if you want to hear multiple stories like this multiple times per week, please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.